Hey everybody, this is Nick Pacone, co-host of the Straight Shooters Podcast. We just passed the 26-year anniversary of the very first In Your House pay-per-view by the World Wrestling Federation. So we're going to upload a classic episode that we recorded just 1 year ago in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. We decided to go back in the vault and live commentate half of the first In Your House event. We, Vaughn Johnson and I, live commentated the Bret Hart Jerry Lawler match, Todd Pettengill and Stephanie Wynne giving away a house, and the main event of Diesel defending his WWF title against Sid. So that episode is coming up next. We also talked about Becky Lynch being pregnant this time 1 year ago. It was right after the Money in the Bank pay-per-view that they had in May, and we found out the next night after Asuka won the briefcase that Becky Lynch was pregnant and Asuka actually won the Raw Women's Championship. So we talked a little bit about that. We also talked about Mike Tyson being involved with All Elite Wrestling. He gave away the TNT Championship to the winner of a Cody Rhodes-Lance Archer match for the TNT title. So we talked a little bit about that, and then we did the live commentary for In Your House 1. After that, later this week, we'll be doing a deep dive into In Your House, Beware of Dog, which took place in May 1996. And then next week, we will do another deep dive for the May 1997 In Your House, Cold Day in Hell. And that'll round out our May episodes. And we'll get into the June pay-per-views and do some deep dives. We got Vengeance 2005 coming up. That was a Patreon request from Chris Johnson, who was a guest on our podcast, as he requested that pay-per-view, and he was also at the event, so he joined the show to give his thoughts on it. So if you have any Patreon requests and would like to be featured on our podcast, let us know at patreon.com/shootersradio. $2 a month, that's all that it costs, so definitely get over there, subscribe. Also, subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. We're everywhere. So if you have any deep dive requests, just let us know through patreon.com/shootersradio. And we hope you enjoy this classic episode that was recorded in May of 2020.
Shooters Radio Universe!
My name, of course, is Vaughn Johnson.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like a parkour champion.
You got me mad now. What is your name?
As always, with my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Pacone.
That's me.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
It ain't got a back dick.
I don't really know us like you think that you do.
I'm Ryan Isley.
What is he doing?
Oh, my God!
Straight Shooters is, I believe, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
I'm feeling good.
No sleep, no food, no nothing. Maniacism.
Well, all the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, Hal.
Sorry.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
What's up, ladies and gentlemen out there in internet land? My name is Vaughn Johnson, and I'm joined as always by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Pacone, the Philly Voice and Philly Influencer. And you are listening to episode 234 of The Straight Shooters on podcast apps available wherever you can find podcasts out there, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, even Pandora. We're even on Pandora, folks. And we're even putting up classic episodes in our feed now on iTunes. So we've put out a couple out this week. Nick has done a good job of rolling out these classic episodes. So we got all the content for you. We're on Patreon. You can subscribe to us, patreon.com/shootersradio. We're everywhere, folks. We are everywhere. We're here tonight for episode 234, just days after a wild episode 233 with the good brother Sawyer and Tommy Roan from the Philadelphia Inquirer. So, Nick, how have you survived episode 233, where we did a Money in the Bank watch party? And how are you doing just in general, my good brother?
I'm doing all right. The weather's getting better. We haven't really talked about the weather too much because I don't think we've really been outside that much. That's but it's getting better. And it's funny you mentioned how wild episode 233 was with the Money in the Bank. And I remember when you suggested the Money in the Bank watch party, I was like, sure, we'll see how it goes. I wasn't getting my hopes up for it being good, a good thing watching. I didn't know how long the pay-per-view was going to be, but it was perfect, man. Like barely 2.5 hours. And we had a good time, a great time, just like sitting there chatting, watching along, and fairly entertaining Money in the Bank pay-per-view. So I'll tell you, if they do more of these 2.5 pay-per-views while we're kind of in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, I'm all for it. Cause wrestling is just, it's not hitting the mark right now. And I think, it's especially for me, you know, I'd rather watch a lot of old stuff at this point. I just do it out of habit. Watch, you know, every week now for the podcast. We're getting back at it, you know, after a few weeks of, what I should have done is just throw up classic episodes during the weeks we didn't have it, but you live and learn. But, we're getting back into it. I think Money in the Bank was very entertaining, and I watched Raw mostly all the way through, and I was fairly entertained by that. So, NXT, I'm not really into at this point. AEW's kind of doing what they're doing. So wrestling's not, like, as boring to me as it was maybe a month ago.
But you'd still need a drink and some good friends to yes. laugh about it with you. To enjoy it. That's what we did this past Sunday. So check it out in the archives, episode 233. Check it out wherever you can find us on your podcast apps. And of course, like I said, we're on Pandora as well. A lot of people listen to us on Pandora. So if you're listening to us on Pandora, thank you. We appreciate you. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Patreon. Like I said earlier, patreon.com/shootersradio. For the nominal fee of $1.99, you can get access to some exclusive content. So check us out there. And again, like I said earlier, like Nick just alluded to, we're putting up classic episodes as well throughout the week. So we have, I think we put up our very first episode ever, I think it was, this week. And episode, I believe, 141 you put up this week as well. So
yeah,
check that out on your podcast feed.
On our regular feed. And then I put up two others on the Patreon. So
right, there you go. So if you want early access to those on the Patreon, go hit it up there. And of course, you can check it all out. shootersradio.com, where you can find a whole bunch of classic episodes of The Straight Shooters. Now tonight's episode, what we're going to talk about tonight, what we're going to do tonight, what we're going to do another live commentary, what we're going to do a live commentary of, we're going to go all the way back to a funny time in wrestling, but Nick's favorite time in wrestling.
You know it.
1995. This man has romanticized this year in wrestling as long as I've known him. For whatever reason.
There's 97, 95 to me.
That's to you. To you. Let's just make that clear. 25 years ago now, and we're literally the day of, 25 years ago today, of the 25th anniversary of the very first In Your House pay-per-view from WWE. Now, for those that don't remember, WWE traditionally, before this, had what? 4 and sometimes I think by this point 5 pay-per-views a year.
Yeah.
WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and eventually King of the Ring in 1993. So that was the only time they had pay-per-views. I know that sounds wild now because they have monthly pay-per-views. But in 1995, they started doing smaller offerings. So like those big shows would be 3 hours long or whatever, and they'd be, $30, whatever. These In Your House specials initially were like no more than 2 hours. Maybe like an hour and 40, an hour and a half, and they'd be like $15. So they're like a value, and you still get some decent, some good matches on the shows. And they were, pay-per-view quality matches in between those massive tentpole events like WrestleMania, SummerSlam, etc. Now, obviously, In Your House is pretty much gone because every month is a massive, major show instead of these shows where they weren't like giving away major main event matches. They were just other matches that were happening throughout the year that would lead up to those bigger shows. I think they should kind of go back to that format, but we're not there yet. But here we are. So the first In Your House 25 years ago today, as we record this on May 14th. And what are we going to watch from the show? We're not going to watch the entire show. We're just going to watch the last pretty much three segments of the show. So first up will be Bret Hart versus Jerry Lawler and their very entertaining feud. Is this the final chapter in that feud, I guess, maybe?
I don't know if it's the last match between the two, but it's the first match in almost two years, because I know they did the SummerSlam match in 93, but it kind of like the feud kept lingering. So this was billed as Bret Hart finally getting revenge on Jerry Lawler for whatever the hell Jerry Lawler was doing to him.
Probably talking,
so similar.
Probably talking trash about his parents, which he did so hilariously throughout the years. Jerry Lawler, you know, has done some stupid things lately, but he was always really funny about making fun of Martha and Stu Hart. So after that, we're going to watch in its entirety WWE give away a house. legit.
And an actual house.
It's not like bogus. WWE, for, you know, I guess to get people to, you know, really watch In Your House, they actually had sweepstakes where they would give away a full house. And I recall when I did a Throwback Thursday about this. Oh, man, a couple years ago now. I got to look it up as I talk about it. But this is a legit thing. This is not like some show or some, you know, stunt. This was a real thing that WWE did. They gave a kid in, like, I think Florida, won a house. And he was like 12 years old or something like that. So we're going to watch that in its entirety. It's a hoot as they dial up the numbers and stuff like that and try to find, you know, someone to take this house. And then the main event follows that, which is Sid versus Diesel. So that should be entertaining as well.
Yeah, I think that's the match where Sid injured Diesel's elbow when he took a powerbomb. So Diesel had started wearing an elbow pad. I could be wrong. I could get my timeline mixed up there. But you talked earlier about the In Your House as being pay-per-views that didn't necessarily have the bigger matches, but they were they built to them every month, you know, on TV and everything, but the bigger matches were still held for those five pay-per-views throughout the year. And they didn't give away bigger matches on this pay-per-view, but they gave away a damn house. And I thought that when we didn't know at this point that In Your House was a monthly thing, at least if you didn't subscribe to Dave Meltzer's newsletter and you were just a kid watching WWF, they might have said it during this pay-per-view, but really the next pay-per-view was in June at King of the Ring, and then maybe at the King of the Ring they announced the other In Your House for July. But I didn't know In Your House was going to be like this type of pay-per-view moving on. So when I first saw it, I actually didn't tape it because I didn't think it was like that important. And you know me with my tape collection and how important that was to me growing up. And I didn't have the first In Your House. I was like so angry. I was like going on tape trader websites trying to find the first In Your House. And I never did. I never did until the WWE Network. So thank goodness for the WWE Network. I did watch this whole pay-per-view a few years ago. And then, you know, I remember it being on Mother's Day. And, you know, just funny. Every time they had a pay-per-view on Mother's Day, me and my family and my mother and my grandmother and my aunts would go out to dinner, and we would just be together for a good portion of the day. And I remember kind of hounding my mom, come on, we need to go home because the pay-per-view's on soon. So we did mostly get home before the pay-per-view started, thankfully. But you know, it brings back some funny memories and good memories, and I'm looking forward to reliving it right here on the Straight Shooters.
And of course, as always, you can relive it right along with us. If you have the WWE Network, fire it on up, and you can join us. We're at the 1 hour, 5 second, and 30 second mark. 1 hour's 5 minutes. I should say 1 hour, 5 minutes, and 30 seconds. Not 5 seconds and 30 seconds. That's just stupid. 1 hour, 5 minutes.
I'll edit that out.
So we'll give you some time to hook that up there, get yourself situated there. It's funny though that we're talking In Your House the day after, as we record this, NXT has announced that they're going to unearth this concept of In Your House, and they're bringing it back. Nick, I know you are ecstatic.
The best decision NXT's ever made.
It's coming back Sunday, June 7th.
And I love the logo. They kind of modernized it a little bit, but they kind of kept the colors and the font. So I love that they announced it last night on NXT. And, you know, it cracked me up because I'm just like, they had Tom Pettengill on the bump. And that brought back memories. And I'm sitting here tweeting. Of course, a lot of it's facetious, but man, Tom Pettengill hyped up some of the trashiest garbage that WWF ever put out as a product. And he got me hyped for that trash. So Tom Pettengill holds a special place in my childhood for, you know, making me excited for these stupid matches that, you know, and he would kind of be like, this is going to be explosive. And what's going to happen when this, you know, when these two behemoths go one-on-one? And so I'm like, yeah, man, that is actually like pretty crazy. You don't get that nowadays. You just don't. And yeah, it's a different time. And, you know, it's definitely a different product, but he's still so like, if anyone's listening to this that hasn't watched this week's bump episode, go watch it. Todd's on there and it's just hilarious. They're showing some of you know, his bloopers throughout his interview on there. And but he's still got the same voice. Like he still looks young enough to like bring him back in the fold, WWE, just bring him back.
They got enough people that are announcers. They got too many announcers, honestly. They got so many on-camera personalities. It's ridiculous. It's hard to keep track of, honestly. But WWE, or NXT, I should say, bringing it back June 7th. They got to have the house as the stage. The house is a must. They probably got somewhere at the WWE warehouse. Bring back the house stage. Because if it's going to be in your house, it's got to be the house stage. I understand they have like a lot of LED boards now, and the house stage wouldn't necessarily be the LED type, you know, stage. But they got to do like the house, and maybe do like, remember they used to have like the 9 TV screen, like screen where the guys would walk out and each picture would change to that person's logo.
Yeah.
They got to have that too. Like just bring it back to 95, bro. Like.
Dude, that was great because it was basically where the Titantron or whatever you want to call it nowadays is, but the aisle began like diagonal to it, so they would come out and they would come right into their pitcher, you know, and it was like a good production technique. I enjoyed it. So yeah, I'm watching those old Superstars episodes, and they did the same thing back in 92 and 93. They had that screen there, and the entrance would just kind of go right into the screen when they would come out. And then the cameraman would be all the way down near the ring and you would see the screen. And then you would just see the wrestlers start coming there. Like it was cool, man. Like, yes, it's nostalgic, but it's also awesome and a lot better than what they have now.
Yeah. So
I'm biased.
They got to bring that back. They got to keep the event short, just like the original In Your Houses were. So no more than 2 hours. That's probably not going to happen, but it's NXT though. NXT shows typically aren't that long anyway, so there's a good chance it's going to happen.
Yeah, and even if they go like 2.5 hours, it doesn't feel like a 2.5 hour show.
That's still short by WWE standards. I mean,
yeah,
that's how I was on Sunday when we were watching Money in the Bank, watching Baron Corbin kill two people, and Rey Mysterio just show up on TV the next day and get killed again. Like,
didn't Aleister Black show up too, or like I don't remember. Maybe he appeared. I don't know, but
apparently, yeah. Mysterio's new Kenny from South Park though. He just gets murdered every episode. It's a shame. It's a real shame. But yeah, In Your House is coming back. They had DX announce it. You know, Road Dogg, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, because they're at the Performance Center. You know, Billy Gunn is in AEW. He's not going to be around. And X-Pac,
which it's weird that they had them announce it, because William Regal, you know, he was on the bump too, and he said we're going to have a huge announcement tonight. And I don't know if that really constitutes a huge announcement, but I get it if they wanted to push a takeover.
Well, Mark's, you know, like, but us, it's a huge announcement. And I know some people, like, In Your House, you don't immediately think DX, but when you think about it, they had their own In Your House at the end, like the last last. Well, I'll take that back, because the first Backlash was an In Your House, right?
Yeah, they kept the In Your House tagline, but they never really said it verbally. But it was in the logo. it was really tiny in the logo. And then I think by Backlash was in, the first one was 99. In 99. Yeah. So
well, technically, yeah, the last In Your House, according to Wikipedia at least, was St. Valentine's Day Massacre. The first Backlash was In Your House, though.
Oh, yeah, because that would have been 2 months after that.
Yeah, maybe I'm tripping.
They originally announced it as Backlash In Your House and then just kind of got rid of it before Backlash and then just said Backlash. I mean, that's possible because I remember, you know, even in the retired pay-per-view section of the WWE Network, the DX In Your House is technically the last one. But that's because, you know, like they had Unforgiven, No Way Out. That started becoming its own brand and its own pay-per-view in essence. So I guess technically they're not considered In Your Houses when it comes to categorizing the WWE Network. But when it comes to like the actual name and the colon In Your House, I do remember Backlash kind of having that to begin with, but maybe by the pay-per-view, it just wasn't there.
I thought it did too. Maybe it's funny that we both feel the same way, but maybe we're wrong. But also, the original Backlash logo, big trash. Go look at the original Backlash logo and then look at how much of a massive improvement it was the next year. It was just much more sleek and simple, where the original logo was massive trash. So I don't know who made that original logo, but it was horrible.
And speaking of Backlash, it's coming back, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you liked that name.
I do, but In Your House is back, baby.
Pay-per-view. They finally have a good June pay-per-view name.
And we were just talking about that, last week, week before?
Yeah.
So
and during our Money in the Bank episode, the Backlash thing came on, and I was like, yes! And you're just like, all right.
So we got to bring back some of those WCW ones, too. So In Your House is back. Great. We got to do Halloween Havoc. We got to do it. That's my personal favorite. Halloween Havoc. It has to happen.
Make it a house show like Starrcade. To make it on Halloween every year if you're running a house show. Do it.
Make Starrcade a pay-per-view. You know, I said it for I don't know how many episodes now. Starrcade should replace Survivor Series. I'll say it again. Starrcade should replace Survivor Series. Because Survivor Series, to me, means nothing. To me, at least. I mean, maybe it means something to somebody else. But I'm not that big of a WWE purist to be like, oh, Survivor Series is tradition. No, get that crap out of here. Survivor Series is big trash to me. And that might be a hot take.
The whole concept is just gone. So the name doesn't really make much sense anymore.
It's calling
unless you had a gimmick match every single year, but you don't. It's not like Hell in a Cell or anything like that where you could even play off the Survivor aspect of it.
There's I don't really care about the matches. Nice. Like the match itself, the Survivor Series match, I don't care about it. It just doesn't entice me.
Not anymore.
In other news, before we get into our In Your House live commentary, the man is going to be the mom. Becky Lynch is pregnant with Seth Rollins' baby. So congratulations to the happy couple, soon to be married couple, and soon to be parents. So we found out that Monday. I mean, speculation was running rampant all day Monday when it was announced that she's going to have a big announcement. And that, you know, we didn't know what it was, but everybody was speculating she's pregnant. And it turned out to be true. It turned out that the Money in the Bank match wasn't for a contract at all. It was for the Raw Women's Championship. Nice way of covering that up, I guess, WWE. I was scratching my head at first about it, like, what? Okay, all right. But at least, you know, Asuka is a champion, which I think is the right call anyway. And it happened because of a great thing. And I don't know how else you would get out of that. Obviously, Becky Lynch can't wrestle. And do you strip her of a title? Like, you don't want to strip her. That's a negative connotation. Like they did with like Sami Zayn, even though his thing is for like pandemic reasons. But you don't want to put that out there. Like you're the company that stripped her of the title because she was pregnant. Like, even though that's not the reason, like obviously she can't defend it because she is pregnant. So how we got there wasn't great, but we're there. And I think that at the end of the day, it's the right decision to give it to Asuka, have her be the champion. I thought the segment, the way it played out, it would have been great if it played out in front of a crowd. It would have been 20 times better. With you know, Becky Lynch's announcement, you know, you go be a warrior because I'm going to be a mom. That was a great line. I think the crowd would have popped. I think people would have been crying. Instead, it was only Becky Lynch crying. And I honestly think that, which was, you could tell it was a real reaction. I honestly think, I don't know if Asuka knew before the segment that Becky Lynch was actually, because her reaction, unless she sold it very well, her reaction seemed, she seemed genuinely surprised. And like, what? Like, oh my God. And he was happy. It was a cool, segment.
It was. And I do, it was weird in a way to see the way Asuka has been built recently for her to have that reaction in pro wrestling terms. But as you know, we're in a pandemic. We could take all the good right now as we can, whatever is, you know, heartwarming and stuff like that. So I kind of got that feeling from it where it was legitimate. They didn't use it for any heel heat for Asuka, which I don't mind that they didn't do that. I know CM Punk said on WWE Backstage he would have done the mist in Becky Lynch's face from Asuka and stuff like that. But, you know, like I get it because that's pro wrestling. That's what pro wrestling would do. But, you know, pro wrestling also isn't known for their heartwarming segments like that. But I did think it was a nice surprise. I think it might have sat better with you and maybe the people that think like you if they announced it last week and had kind of like the same segment and then made the Money in the Bank match for the Raw Women's title.
But here's the thing. Again, maybe she didn't know at that point. We don't know when she found out.
I mean, that's true. That's true. You know. And Raw has been pre-taped. So, yeah, you're right. And there's no telling where...
The match itself was pre-taped as well.
Right. The Money in the Bank. So there's no saying that they would have been able to, you know, make that happen, even if it was live. But, you know, it was a cool thing. You know, congratulations to Becky Lynch. You know, I don't know how long, you know, she has been wanting this or, you know, something like that. Maybe it's something she wanted. She's at the pinnacle of her career right now and gets pregnant. So that's another big story where, like, where's the last time we saw somebody at the very top of her profession, you know, get pregnant like that? And it's not a bad thing at all. You know, it's awesome because you just see that segment, you know, WWE kind of wrote it perfectly. And maybe they didn't even write anything. Maybe they were like, hey, just go out there and, you know, do this. And she did it. And it will make, hopefully, her return that much better. You know, she might come back. I think I tweeted out a few days ago, I would love to see Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley in next year's WrestleMania. So if they can bring, if Becky wants to come back after birth, after a few months and, you know, kind of go after Rhea Ripley a little bit, that would make for some awesome TV. So Becky Lynch is not done by any means, I don't think. So, you know, she might not know what she wants to do for real right now. But, you know, I thought the funny part about that was kind of Seth Rollins' reaction later in the show where he wasn't, you know, he was in character. And I thought that was kind of like hilarious. So I'm looking forward to see like if he stays in character that way. And it kind of made me laugh a little bit the way his hair was.
He did tweet out like normal stuff, like Colby Lopez. Yeah. Like, I'm happy and all this and that. Yeah. On TV, he looks like a person that is like super worried that he's about to be a dad. Like he can't handle this at all, which I do find funny as well. Because even though that's not technically the story, because, you know, the story now, even though they've done it before, they have been together, but they're not in story. It's like it never even happened almost, right? Which is weird, but that's how WWE operates. But in my mind, it's not him being upset about losing to Drew McIntyre. No. He is super nervous about being a dad, which is understandable, Seth. We're all with you on that.
It's hilarious because people now, they even put it on air, you know, Rey Mysterio congratulating him, and then that's why he like turned. So, they already planted that. They already planted that. So I'm looking forward to seeing if they do something with him because that might be the rest of his year right now. It might be like immersed in an angle like that, which might be good for him. I don't know.
I don't know that to me. I don't know why I think that's so funny.
It's like, it is. Because it's seeing, not exactly something we've seen before in wrestling.
No, fatherhood is a story. Two people who are current active wrestlers having a baby and him just being frazzled about being a, which is real. That's a real thing. I remember, you know, before Gabby was born, I didn't know what the hell to do. I didn't know what the hell to think. I was just like, just expecting the unexpected. So I can relate to that. And I think it's funny. I just waiting for the scene of what you saw in the cartoons back in the day when the dad would be in the waiting room and smoking cigarettes, pacing back and forth and stuff like that. Like, that's what I want to see from Seth Rollins in the future. Even though he doesn't smoke cigarettes, or he might, I don't know, I doubt it. But still, I think it'd be funny. I think it'd be hilarious. So I don't know why I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I think that'd be funny. And congratulations to them too. Again, on a real note, congratulations to both of them. It's a beautiful thing. It's a crazy time to be, you know, having a baby right now.
They were supposed to be married too. They were supposed to get married this month, and that's been pushed back.
And you brought up something good that was kind of intriguing earlier to me, in that Becky Lynch's career. I mean, Seth Rollins is going to keep wrestling, but Becky Lynch, she's got to put her career on hold for at least 9 months as she goes through the pregnancy. And then what happens after the baby is born? She's gonna be a mom. I mean, who knows how the world looks in 9 months, whether WWE's back on the road and stuff like that. And if they are, how is that, you know, how are you, it's not like being a mom, a new mom on the road. So, you know, how long is she actually going to be away from WWE, which, you know, her priority, as it should be, will be her unborn child, or her, by that point, her, you know, new child. So, you know, does she take a 12-month hiatus? Because I can tell you right now, you know, when that kid's first born, it's like the very tenuous time. You have to be there a lot. And, you know, whether you're, even if you're, you know, formula feeding and stuff like that, like that's a time that you got to be there and be like, you're not working on, you're not working on your schedule. You're working on their schedule. So how is that going to play into being both of them being active wrestlers? You know, it's one thing for one of them to be active wrestlers and, you know, one can be a stay-at-home parent while the other one go mix the bacon. They both are. And they're, like you said, they're both at the peak of their careers. So it's like, what happens? What's going on? You know, who, you know, how long is Becky Lynch out? And if she's out for a while, does she come back ever? Like, she's like, you know what? I just want to be a mom now. She loves wrestling. I know she loves wrestling. She might be dying to come back once she's, you know, done with the pregnancy and stuff like that. But hey, some people, you see it all the time with women's athletics. A lot of women, they stop performing and stop being an athlete for a little while so they can start a family. Now, some of them come back. I think Becky Lynch will come back eventually, but I think I don't think it's a guarantee that it's like once the baby's born, she's back right away. I don't think that's going to happen. Right. We might not see her. What are we in May now? The baby isn't due until when? I don't know. I don't know how far along she is. Either way,
I don't know.
We might not see Becky Lynch until 2021.
Yeah.
Unless she's pregnant on TV. So, which I don't know how much traveling she's going to do, obviously, because of the pandemic. And once you get in the latter stages of your pregnancy, you probably shouldn't travel too much. That's the whole thing. But either way, congratulations to them too. Hope everything works out. Hope it's a big, healthy baby once it's out in this world. So, again, congrats to them too. Moving on, though. Some other massive news. Not necessarily as important as a new life coming into the world, but still important nonetheless. Iron Mike Tyson, who is still the scariest man on the planet. I don't know if you've seen these videos of him, like, training again.
Yeah.
And might be, like possibly coming back. But, boy, he is lightning fast for a 53-year-old man. Like, scary fast. I don't know if he can go 12 rounds anymore or 10 rounds. But he can still trash somebody in, like, 2 rounds. Like, you give him, like, a tomato can of a fighter, he's going to kill that person. He can still knock somebody lights out to this day. It's scary. But he's making a different sort of return to the wrestling world. I don't know if he's going to wrestle or anything like that, but at least for the time being, he's returning to the ring in a non-wrestling capacity, not for WWE. Remember, he is a WWE Hall of Famer. Instead, for AEW. What a coup.
Oh, my goodness.
As he will be at Double or Nothing May 23rd, which is, as of today, at an undisclosed location. we don't know where it's taking place, but he will be there wherever it is. And he will be presenting the TNT Championship, which is essentially an AEW's version of the television championship. But it's a TNT Championship. He is presenting it to the winner of the first ever TNT Championship match between Cody Rhodes and Lance Archer. What do you think about that, Nick?
I got to tell you, I wasn't a huge fan of it when I first heard it because, honestly, I don't always look at the bigger picture at first. And I'm guilty of that, and I'll admit that I'm guilty of that. So when I first saw Mike Tyson, and by the way, the TNT Championship's still a lame name, should just be television. I don't understand that whole thing of branding.
Here's
that,
why I have
a championship. Like
TNT is playing rights. They get the name on the belt. Make those people happy.
It's not a great name. Damn TNT logo on it. It's gonna be annoying as hell.
Hey, if you're going to put the old school TNT logo on, it'd be great.
You know what? Yeah. I'm down with the old school logo.
Yeah, put the old school logo on there. But
it's just new. Happen. And listen, I hated the Universal name for the championship, and it's kind of grown on me because, you know, it's been here for years now, and it's kind of like, I'm not going to change it, you know? Nothing I'm going to do is going to change it. So I'll probably get used to it, but, you know, it is what it is. I do think Tyson will eventually, like, I can't see this as a one-off. And I do understand if it is, because maybe you don't necessarily want to enter into business with him right now because he's still a wild card. We see these videos of him training, but that's really it. How is he business-wise? Will he do what he did with WWE business-wise? Like, you know, he's older now. It's 20 years ago that happened, 22 years ago. I'm not so sure that they would enter into a long, like, monthly contract with him. But I also wouldn't be against it anymore because I'm not saying this is the same. This is going to be to AEW what Mike Tyson was to WWE in 1998. But I would be shocked if he didn't knock out whoever won the title and start a story. You know, and start a story. And that's why I think he's going to be there, because him just being there and giving the belt and then leaving does nothing for AEW. And I don't think they would pay that much money for Mike Tyson just for nothing. So I do think they want to do something with him. And I think that's him becoming a character in AEW, no matter who wins. It would make sense for me. I mean, I guess for Cody to work with him first, because that Cody can kind of control the story a little bit. So, you know, Mike Tyson acting all happy or whatever, giving Cody the belt. Cody wins the title, and then Tyson just pops him. And then you have a monumental story for AEW to build off of that's not taking over, like, the world title picture. I mean, maybe it will take over the world title picture, but you still have, like, Jon Moxley, world title, that going on. You still have Jericho and the Inner Circle versus the Elite. So you would have three gigantic angles going on, stories for AEW, where they desperately need it right now because of the coronavirus pandemic. So after thinking about all that, I think it's kind of a genius move to bring in Mike Tyson, because capitalizing off these videos, these training videos, and, you know, he's in the news now because of these videos. So now you get him to double or nothing in less than 2 weeks. And man, I think they do something with him. I think they should do something with him, because not saying I wouldn't be one to say that it's biting off WWE, but I will be one to say it's something that AEW, I think, will need to gain some mainstream attention.
Yeah, it definitely helps. I mean, Mike Tyson, he isn't quite maybe what he was back in 98 when he was, like, arguably the most recognizable athlete in the world at the time. Like, him and maybe Michael Jordan. Like, right. I mean, you look back at that Last Dance documentary, you see how, you know, famous Michael Jordan was. There wasn't too many athletes in that same stratosphere. I would argue Mike Tyson was close, if not on equal footing, to Jordan as far as recognition and back in 98. So maybe he's not quite to that level, you know, because, you know, he hasn't fought in a long time and, you know, stuff like that. And, it's, you know, but like you said, he's on social media now. he's still famous. He's still very, very famous. Let's not get that wrong. But now his name is buzzing again because of these videos resurfacing of him training and looking scary as all hell at 53 years old. And, you know, I don't know how much he's going to do from a physicality standpoint. I think it's a nice touch. To me, it's a nice touch that's to have him present the title and not do anything. But I can see somebody getting that issue. Let's do something with Mike. And Mike would be open to it because, you know, it's been documented in the past, but let's remind people, Mike Tyson's a massive wrestling fan. That's the only reason why he's really doing this, because obviously he's getting paid. But, like, no, Mike is a legit wrestling fan. Like, he's watched wrestling. He watched a lot of WWF when he was a kid. So I don't know if he's going to get into the ring and, like, have matches at some point. That just doesn't seem like something Mike would do. But he could, I guess. I don't know. But
I could just see Cody versus Mike Tyson at, like, the next pay-per-view or something like that. I would love that. As a wrestling fan, I would just love it. And I don't even care if people are like, oh, they're copying WWE. Like, whatever. Like, to me, that I don't care about that right now with that specific thing. Like, copying promotions does get lame, but I think AEW creatively can make it work in 2020 if they want to do business with him. That is further along than just handing somebody a belt.
I mean, I see your point. And this is wrestling, so you can't rule anything out.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a nice touch to have, instead of Mike being the focal point, Mike kind of giving people the rub, which is kind of what he did in 98 for Steve Austin. You know, Mike didn't, he did get physical. He did punch Shawn Michaels and that whole thing. But at the end of the night, he raised Steve Austin's hand and gave him the seal of approval, which he already had. And Steve Austin was over, but it just helped him, you know, gain traction with a whole new audience that didn't know who he was. So,
you know, it was kind of weird because I didn't look at it like that. I kind of looked at it as Austin being more dominant at that point, because Tyson didn't seem like bringing Austin up to his level. It was, to me as a fan, that whatever they did with Mike Tyson that night, it was like Austin bringing Tyson over. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Tyson's one of the most recognizable athletes or people.
Yeah, but you see the way they walk back and back of the aisle, Austin with his hands in the air, and then Mike Tyson's like right there raising his hand, like he's, in the back. I'm just saying.
He's giving Austin the rub. He's letting Austin have the shine. It's Austin's moment, and Mike.
I know. I'm just saying. As I see that now, 22 years later, I see that. But back then, I was like, okay, Austin got Tyson, you know, to do something good. No. You know, him knocking out Shawn Michaels and stuff like that. I was like, Stone Cold Steve Austin did that, of course.
Tyson was definitely helping Austin get that rub, because Tyson was 20 times more famous than Steve Austin was. And trust me, Steve Austin was very famous in 1998. He still is to this day. But
I understand that, because especially with the bunch of people that probably ordered that pay-per-view that were not wrestling fans.
Right, that's what you want.
And they just see Mike Tyson there in the main event. And, you know, him raising Austin's hand, you're like, hey, this Austin, he seems like a badass, you know? And then you just keep going on week from week.
Right.
And so they saw that.
You would hope that, you know, Austin could do the same for, I mean, not Austin, Tyson could do the same for a guy, in my opinion. That's what I would like.
Cody, if you saw Dynamite, he was in his little truck and he ran over some steel rails or whatever, and it was so Austin-esque. It was kind of lame, in my opinion, what he did last night on Dynamite. It was just like when Austin would ride down his truck down to the ring or outside, and I was like, come on, man. Like, I even tweeted about it just because I thought that was Cody pulling a poor man Steve Austin. But just because it looked like, you could tell he didn't want to damage his truck or whatever he was driving. He, like, lightly tapped in. He barely ran over what he was supposed to. You know, like, that wasn't Austin. So, I would like them to try to distance himself from that type of character. I'm not saying Cody is old Steve Austin, but he doesn't need to be running down anything in his truck. It's just stupid.
And Cody, I'm sure, is a tough guy in his own right, and he's a former amateur wrestler, wrestled in high school, but he doesn't strike me as like a traditional tough guy like Austin did, right? And to him to go up against Tyson, like you mentioned, that just doesn't feel right to me at all. But maybe Tyson giving him the rub.
Well, I mean, Cody's had some great promos, and I think he can kind of complement his lack of, you know, that toughness that people might see from the outside with his words. And, you know, and I don't know how Mike Tyson's going to look next to Cody. It will all make sense if they both look similar in stature and muscular. If Tyson's a lot bigger than Cody, then I don't see it working. Cody's a lot bigger than Tyson. I don't see it working.
Tyson isn't the tallest, but he's definitely husky. He's definitely, got some muscle on him.
I can see Cody and AEW really getting some positive press out of this if they decide to do more with Tyson. And I'm all for it because wrestling's in a lull right now without fans, and maybe it'll bring somebody back.
But that's the thing to me is like, you can do that and it will get headlines, but it just makes wrestling look more like the sideshow. Like, we've kind of already done that with like Cam Velasquez and even Brock in the beginning when he first came back to WWE, Tyson Fury. So, Mike Tyson is a different beast than all of those guys, no doubt. But it just looks like same old wrestling kind of, oh, here's another person jumping into that wrestling ring and see what they can do. But if you just keep it to me, keep it more, for lack of a better term, classy, where he's just there to present the title. He raises the person's hand. He lends his credibility to that person, whoever the winner is, and the promotion as a whole by keeping it classy. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Once he gets into a match, to me, it feels like just another sideshow. Obviously, there's headlines that will come with it. There is publicity that will come with it. But that's the intention with, you know, Tyson Fury. That was the intention with Cain Velasquez. I don't know how much that really moved the needle for WWE. I mean, but again, Mike Tyson, different level of fame than both of those guys combined. But, you know, time will tell, I guess.
I think wrestling's in a rut now, and anyone, AEW, WWE, can use something even without the fans in attendance. They could use something to just kind of remind the population, like, hey, we're here, you know, with all the numbers that are decreasing week by week by week. So I just think they can use the jolt.
Well, we'll see. Like I said, May 23rd, that is 9 days from now. AEW Double or Nothing in that undisclosed location.
That's the, you talk about WWE buzzwords, that's AEW's buzzword for the next week and a half.
Yeah. Undisclosed location. Before we get into our
live commentary. WWE headquarters, maybe?
Oh, maybe. Who knows? Before we get into our live commentary, which is, of course, the first ever In Your House, which happened 25 years ago today. We talked about earlier, WWE literally gave away a house on the show. And I said, this was real. This was not for play. This is for real. And I found my story from, what was this, 2017 some point. I think it was July 2017. No, let's see. July 27th, 2017. Again, this happened at the request of some fans out there on Twitter that I asked back in 2017.
Was that Nick Piccolo, one of them?
Probably. This is probably definitely your suggestion. I would not be surprised by that. Somebody requested the first ever In Your House. So I, you know, put in the story, you know, I did some research, you know, as I want to do, and looked into this. And yeah, WWE gave away a house. They had the entries come in. Let's see. The house itself was located, you'll probably hear this in the broadcast as we go along, but the house itself was located near a golf course in Orlando, Florida, and came with an indoor pool. So remember that. This is nice. I've been to Orlando too. Orlando's a nice city. A lot of touristy things in Orlando. It's kind of strange actually, but it's in Orlando, which is of course WWE's headquarters is located at now. Maybe the house is the performance center.
maybe I believe it is.
Maybe that happened.
Maybe they finally paid off the taxes and they turned it into the performance center.
Maybe. And here's what I wrote here. I put, according to WWE, the company received more than 340,000 entries, which were driven in an armored car from Melville, New York, to Syracuse with a police escort. So, because the event happened in Syracuse, right? Yeah. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. The on Onondaga County War Memorial. Now the War Memorial one center. I don't know. It's in Syracuse. Not the Carrier Dome. Let's just say that. So went from Melville to New York to Syracuse via police escort in an armored car. Like, that's how real this was. Okay. The entries, which were in envelopes, were then placed in a massive tank in the arena and surrounded by what I would assume were armored guards. So people with machine guns, for sure. Ty Pettengill, who you mentioned earlier, and Steph Wyand?
Yep. Wyand
did the honors of giving away the house before the main event. Let's see. Wyand excitedly jumped into the tank full of envelopes and picked one. It eventually got to Pettengill, who dialed the person's phone number, but the call didn't go through at first, which you will hear eventually.
Yeah.
The call not going through was apparently hilarious of his immense and made him cackle with laughter into his microphone. Then Pettengill called the number again and it rang. Someone answered. Pettengill got asked for Matt Pompicelli. And he got Matt Pompicelli, apparently.
Damn Italian.
The person yelled with excitement. Everybody's all excited. And apparently the house is awarded to Pompicelli and his family, who at the time lived in Henderson, Nevada. And let's see.
Man, they gotta move all the way across the country.
Hey, man, you get a house for free, you're gonna move across the country. Or at least take it and maybe sell it. Who knows? Let's see. Back then, let's see.
I wouldn't necessarily want to live in Florida today, but that's another discussion.
Another discussion. WWE shot out fireworks, which, I mean, that warrants fireworks. let's see. Just according to a found an article in 2012 article from WWE.com, the Pompicelli family sold the house about 6 months after getting it, which I said earlier, you probably just sell it. Sold the house because, like you said, you don't want to move. Matt Pompicelli said his family had just moved from New York to Nevada, which meant the family was not about to pack up and move again to Orlando, which is fair.
It's just held editor.
So Pompicelli said it was a tough decision to sell the house, but it did provide him plenty of money for college. According to Pompicelli, he made $175,000 for the sale, which, that sounds kind of low for a nice house like that, but...
Yeah, because where I was living in Jersey at the time was a lot more than that.
I mean, this is 95.
It wasn't as nice a house.
This is 1995. But yeah. $175,000 a day can get you, like, a decent row house. Like, yeah. You know, but, I mean, you know, maybe that's what he got from it.
Yeah, maybe. So.
All right, so...
It also came with wrestlers, so...
Apparently. So that's some background on that particular happening on this. But we will, obviously watch it play out in real time in just a second. So if you're ready, Nick, 105:30, you good to go?
10:05:30. I am ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Got it.
All right. Jerry the King Lawler.
His mother, man.
He said, whose mother is that supposed to be?
What?
He said he's in the ring with his mom?
Yeah, Jerry Lawler's mom.
That woman next to him is supposed to be his mom?
Supposed to be, yes.
What the hell? That woman is half Jerry Lawler's age. This is weird.
Yeah.
Why is his mom so hot?
I think that's the whole point. You know, he lies about every single thing.
But you know, that was his character. That? So. That's bizarre.
Yeah. I think that maybe that's why. So she can beat up Helen. Well, I don't think they're there.
This is bizarre.
Yeah.
And she gives him a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I remember watching thinking it was weird because I was like, wait, she's hot.
She is half his age and
moms aren't hot.
Extremely.
You know, but I was thinking this is a 9-year-old.
Yeah. We don't look at our own moms as hot at least, but yeah, this is extremely.
But the funny thing is she stayed at ringside.
That's a weird call.
Yeah. So Bret Hart already wrestled against Hakushi in the first match of the pay-per-view.
Opening match. First match in your house history.
He hurt his knee, apparently. Oh, wait. No, he didn't.
He's fine. He did a couple hops. He's good.
He, top seller in wrestling history.
Todd Pettengill's mullet is...
Oh, I love it. I love it, man.
Luxurious.
Dude, he was great, man. A Mania and Livewire. That's my jam.
They got the people guarding the entries at the top of the stage right now.
Yeah, well, Bret Hart to steal one.
And Bret selling the knee. Oh, no, my knee. That's funny. See the screen? That's I said 9, but it's more like 12, actually. Those screens are 16. I can't count.
Best part is Jerry Lawler doesn't know until right now.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Dude, this is why he was so good during his feud with Bret. Like, he sold so well. But he never was like, okay, you win. He would always talk crap on him.
Yeah, Jerry Lawler was a quality heel in WWF. I'll give his credit where the credit is due. I'll give his credit.
This is a month before their Kiss My Foot match. King of the Ring, so I totally forgot about that.
Man, we should have watched that.
When you said this was the end, I was like, yeah, I don't think they fought each other after this. Well, yeah, they did the very next month. How could I forget about the Kiss My Foot match?
Obviously. Naturally. How can we forget about the Kiss My Foot match?
The actual blow-off.
Who would have thought the blow-off match between two legends like Bret Hart and Jerry Lawler would have been a Kiss My Foot match? Wasn't like Jerry Lawler like not washing his feet for weeks or something like that.
Yeah. And it's like being like putrid. A horse stable with like manure and blood.
His feet were like pungent for like 2 weeks. Yeah. So Bret can kiss him.
But the best part about it is it introduced us to Isaac Yankum afterwards.
Oh boy. That's gotta be Isaac Yankum!
So this is what Bret Hart was doing while Diesel was the champion, so... It reminds me of why Bret Hart's one of the greatest of all time. Having to deal with this. File driver early. Damn.
This is so weird.
Okay, what's up?
Still, I'm still like weirded out by the fact that
this is Lawler.
This super attractive woman that's half Jerry Lawler's age, even in 1995, is supposed to be his mom. Like, what were they trying to... Is there a joke? What was a joke?
I don't even know if there's like a story that they would even want to tell. I think it's just that Jerry Lawler lies about everything, and that's what I took from it.
He has this insanely hot woman he would love to fornicate with as his mom. Like, I don't understand it. I don't get it.
I wasn't thinking about that at 9 years old, but
right. Neither was I at well, I'd have been 6, but it's still weird. At 31, I find it weird. Look, what he's reaching out for? I don't know. I gotta stop talking about it. I'm gonna talk about it the entire match.
So you had forgotten about this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Clearly.
It's a good thing we watched that first, because right now you'd be like, who the hell is that woman cheering for Jerry Lawler?
Let me see. Obviously I wrote about this. Let me see what I wrote about this back 2017. I just put a line. I just put Lawler was in the ring before the match with a beautiful young lady that he called his mother.
That he called his mother.
Since Bret Hart dedicated his earlier match to his mom, I guess Lawler wanted to do the same, but in a very weird way. See? In a very weird way. Like, it's so dumb. The young lady challenged Helen Hart to a match and gave Lawler a kiss.
Top rope.
Oh, I missed. I'm reading. No, don't worry about it. And gave Lawler a kiss on the cheek before leaving the ring. Weird. Like, even back in 2017, I was like, this is only 3 years ago. But I was like, this is stupid. This is really
What's
weird.
What's funny is they keep going to her. Keep showing her on camera.
Because he's attractive.
Oh,
Shinja.
Yeah. White he's here suit. For revenge against Bret Hart.
White suit, white face paint.
I don't even remember. Did Hakushi win or did Bret Hart win?
According to my story that I'll keep referring to, Inquire.com.
Well, that means really stuck.
Let's see who won this match here. Bret Hart beat Hakushi.
Oh, okay. So he definitely wasn't going to win two in a row. Here comes Hakushi. I remember this when Hakushi attacked him during this match.
Were you extremely upset?
No, I was just like, he beat him earlier. Why is he out here now? I never understood like the revenge factors. Like, once you're beat. Like, get out of here.
The referee's still stuck in the ropes? Just there?
That's great, though, because he can't even, I guess he can't look up right now and see Hakushi. Well, I guess
Jerry Lawler holds down his legs.
Yeah.
Diving headbutt. Oh, referee's coming back.
Yeah, he can totally see him right now. That's bad timing.
Ooh, another diving headbutt. Get out the ring, Hakushi. There's
Earl having to be one of the worst referees ever. Still.
His ankle is preventing him from turning around.
Oh, what a beautiful bridge. that's it.
That's no! It. No! Mr. Man.
That was basically a squash match.
No! Ah! Oh. One, two!
So, in singles competition, Jerry Lawler at this point is 2-0 against Bret Hart. Because their SummerSlam 93 decision got overturned. Got reversed, I should say.
His extremely attractive mother is very proud.
So you care more about his attractive mother than Jerry Lawler's 2-0 record against Bret Hart.
I care more about the weird casting decision there instead of the 2-0 record. Look at this. Look at this.
Oh, man. Earl's ankle's fine. He's trying to sell it.
Yeah, he's good now.
Earl's selling him. I'm going to screw you in 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Press like, why, bro?
What are you talking about?
He's saying, it's good work, bro.
You said what? He's like, what'd you say about? Say screw who? Oh, nothing. I say nothing. Okay.
That was so funny. I remember being like kind of embarrassed. I was like, really? Jerry Lawler beat Bret Hart?
Wow, look at Sid.
What's up, Sid?
Right up in his grill.
Yeah. Look at that chin. Jay Leno, man.
Sid was awesome. His promo, something else. But I think Sid was awesome. I don't know.
I became a fan of him when he came back in 96. Not at this point. I wasn't a big fan.
That's fair. I just think the potential was just so much potential there. And just so many reasons why I just never liked. I mean, he main evented at WrestleMania. He was world champion multiple times in, you know, WWE or WCW.
And WCW, yeah.
Yeah, something and WCW. And just never, he was never really like. Like, he should have been a huge star. He was just like, he was a top guy, but it wasn't like a big, big star.
Right. And he was great in his role.
He was. Like I said, Sid was all. Man.
He, you know, that whole run he had against Shawn Michaels, like, I don't necessarily, like, yeah, it sucked for Vader's career, but I don't think Sid dropped the ball at all. I think Sid did great in that role, and going against Shawn in November 96 and all the way through the Royal Rumble, he was great.
Michael P.S. Hayes with Doc Hendricks with yet another ugly ass suit from Michael Hayes / Doc Hendricks. Look at that suit. Or that tux.
He is done up.
Dude, Doc Hayes. Doc right, Hendricks.
Vince, thank you very much.
He's the guy that ran the slam pants. Florida.
Here you go.
Absolutely beautiful house. Somebody is going to win.
House.
Oh, man. A beautiful community, Hunters Creek in Florida. As a matter of fact, this place is located right on a beautifully manicured 18-hole golf course.
The hair.
Look at the grounds. They're absolutely spectacular. You get the house. You get the screened-in pool.
He's putting Stephanie Wyand's head to shame right now.
All from the World Wrestling Federation and your local cable company. How about that?
Really nice. Somebody is going to actually win this beautiful home in Orlando.
We have all of the entries right here.
It's tough to give away the indoor pool, though.
It's time to do it right now.
I am so psyched. I want to do it.
All right, we need to kind of mix these up.
Yeah, can you imagine having an entry in there, but you just, you're just like way at the bottom. Like,
where am I going to get away?
No hope.
The garage.
Yeah, try, Todd.
I was like, why can't I don't go like to the northwestern part of it? And they just stood right there in the center.
That reminds me of that pose. Remember that?
Look at this.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's get in here.
That's why Todd was the goat.
Don't let any fall out.
Who's going to win?
See, that's not going to work when you have a model on the bottom.
That's good.
If you're one of the first people to send one in, you're screwed.
He picks her up and tosses her in.
Let's have a drum
roll! This is the dumbest way to do, like,
there's no way you can't tell me that.
Okay, here I go!
There's such a better way to do this. It's only 1985 years ago.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now to make everything official. Where are they? Come on over. Ladies and gentlemen, Len Dakin and Lori Zip. Come on over here, Lori. From Don Jagoda Associates. They'll make sure the winner meets all eligibility requirements. That's very, very important. How are you doing?
We're good.
Did it work?
It works.
Yes.
It's good.
Did he just like?
Let's call.
Okay, call.
Let's call right now.
I like he snatched that envelope out of his hand. All right, move. Let me call the winner.
This is so exciting, Todd.
Todd's all business all the time. Well, he's one of the greatest.
Stephanie Wyand, can you imagine?
I might just say that after everything I say about Todd.
What a thrill that must be.
That's why he was one of the greatest.
Who's gonna win? What a Mother's Day present.
They're calling my number.
All right, let's hope they're home. We told you to be by your phone.
Yeah.
Please check the number. Oh, we gotta dial again!
Oh my goodness gracious.
Don't you hate when you get that annoying operator?
You gotta stop forgiving.
That's alright.
Vince is happening right now, like I said in the story.
I hope my mother-in-law's on the line.
Get this Todd out of work
on the line. I hope not. I'm ready to tee off.
You have to dial one first, Todd.
Okay.
Right, here we go, here we go.
Dial out.
Try it again. It's ringing.
Yeah, it's ringing.
Your phone ringing right now?
Hello? Your phone ringing right now?
Hi, is Matt
so creepy, but so awesome.
Pasilli home?
Yeah! Yeah, I'm here!
Can I talk to Matt, please?
Turn the sound off! Turn the sound off!
Is this Matt? Are you watching right now?
Yeah,
you win
right
the
oh, my God.
What happened to the pop?
We are calling Henderson, Nevada, Matt Pasilli, and his whole family watching you guys pending verification
pending verification
in Orlando, Florida.
Look at Stephanie Wyand's face. She is over the moon about it.
Come on, this is a joke.
I used a screen grab of Todd Pettengill's face and Stephanie Wyand's face as the thumbnail for my story. Because it's a perfect way to sum up this whole thing. It's the faces of the camera. Oh my God!
Congratulations again to Matt.
You win the house.
Your local cable company and the World Wrestling Federation. Way to go, guys!
Congratulations!
Let's get back to ringside, Vince and Doc.
Cool. All right, thank you very much, Todd.
Henderson, Nevada!
Probably, oh, thank goodness that worked.
Who's the guy behind him with the shades on the hat in the arena? Like, what is he? Just either you wear the shades or you don't wear the shades. Why are they on your forehead like that?
Virgil.
What's happening?
See that thing I posted on Twitter? The Virgil magazine?
I did not. I'm just mesmerized by this guy in between Doc Hendricks and Vince McMahon right now. Who, in his mind, is the coolest guy in the building.
What's that hat?
He is just too cool for school right now.
Was wearing a tie. Is that a security guard?
I don't know. The shades.
He's got a tie and a collared shirt.
And Doc Hendricks' blazer is tux is killing me too. It's just absolutely, I'm dying right now.
You have to go all out.
Man. It's like, and then Vince's French cuffs with the black stripe on them. Killing me. 1995 fashion. Killing me.
And
here we go.
Your becomes
Sid Justice.
Is this Psycho Sid or just Sid?
Oh, it's just Sid. He wasn't Sid Justice. I guess when you're not a babyface, not Sid Justice anymore.
I don't know when they added the Psycho to his name.
I guess when he came back the second time. Right? The second return, or?
What was this?
Oh, you might be right. I don't know.
But maybe it's after. Because I remember at first they spelled Psycho correctly with the P in the beginning. And then they eventually just took the P off and I guess to make it look cooler.
Somebody had a psychotic sign in the crowd, so I don't know.
Yeah. They have those fireworks.
Psycho taped. Music too.
Yeah.
Which I always thought was cool.
Yeah, it's not bad music at all. And this is after Sid demolished HBK after WrestleMania, and him and Diesel started their feud. A long feud, which is really annoying. Back then, I used to hate long feuds.
So he's just Sid. All right.
Shawn Michaels watching on pay-per-view?
Is he?
Did he really order it?
Right.
He probably called Diesel and was like, yo, let me know how it goes.
Something tell me he didn't watch the show live.
Yeah, there's Vince in all his glory. Turn on your engines. Need all the Diesel puns you can get.
Rev him up!
See that?
Oh, yeah.
Diesel truck, though. It's great. In the video screen.
Power.
My favorite part was like when Diesel... Shortly after he debuted, it might have been in 93 or 94, Vince and Jerry Lawler were in front of the screen on Superstars, and the Diesel was coming out, and the truck was on the screen coming for him. And Jerry Lawler was like, hey, Vince, watch out. And Vince looks back at the screen and acts like he needs to move out of the way. It's like, don't you understand you're in an arena and that's a video screen? Like,
that's funny.
I got to find that. I wish more Superstars episodes were uploaded because that definitely happened in either 93 or 94 when Diesel was a heel. But
I always thought Diesel's pyro was cool.
Yeah, you could always tell. Oh, that one pyro. Yeah,
that one was still going.
Yeah, you could always tell who they cared about and who they didn't when it came to the pyro. Remember Sid had his own pyro that spelled out Sid.
That was awesome too.
Yeah.
In case you forgot his name. Here it is in lights.
Brock Lesnar, eat your heart out. Sid can jump from the floor to the apron too.
He's a hell of a softball player, he's a hell of an athlete.
See, I thought at this point, as a 9-year-old me, Sid was going to beat Diesel, and then Shawn was going to come back and beat Sid for the title. Ooh, at like SummerSlam or something. You're
fantasy booking like 9 years old.
Yeah. Because I had started to pick up all these wrestling hints of like what happens when and all that. And I just got used to it. And I watched it so often. So like I was like, okay, well, this is going to happen.
With you fantasy. Oh, big shot to the face. Another big shot to the face. Some elbows. Look at Tim White in there.
Now Diesel's wearing the elbow pad now, so maybe I do remember them highlighting Sid's powerbomb on him. I think this is the first show he powerbombed him on and injured his elbow. But I don't know if it was this one or the July pay-per-view when they face each other in that lumberjack match.
What's Ted DiBiase doing? You see that Ted DiBiase's ministry was like named in like this big scandal in Mississippi with like the misappropriation of funds for like some people like the welfare money in Mississippi, which is one of the poorest states in the union, by the way.
Yeah.
Taking the welfare money and like misappropriating the funds and somehow some of those funds made it to Ted DiBiase's ministry. They were all named. I think it was in the audit. That's what happened. It was an audit by somebody. Yeah, that's what Ted DiBiase
was. Was that him or was that his son?
I thought it was both. I thought it was like Ted Jr., Ted Sr., and Brett DiBiase. I thought it was like the whole gang.
Oh, wow.
But maybe I misread it. So.
I don't remember Ted Jr. being in there, but Brett seems right. Because I think I looked up what Ted DiBiase Jr. was up to recently, and I don't think that came up in anything. But as always, I could be wrong.
Yeah, here we go. Ted DiBiase is involved in it. A mid-audit scandal.
He was involved? Or...
Well, I was involved in the...
how did he know? That's
a different story. Well, apparently he put his house up for sale after this audit scandal, according to Wrestling Inc.
Interesting.
He had to be named in the welfare fraud investigation, according to... put his house up for sale after being named in this investigation. According to the report, more than $98 million from the Temporary Assistance for the Needy Families Program, or TANF, were funneled to two Mississippi-based nonprofit organizations over 3 years. That's almost $100 million these people were stealing from welfare families. That's terrible. So about $94 million was questioned. $94 million was questioned by state auditors, meaning that he couldn't verify the money was legally spent. That's almost all of it. What?
Damn.
How do you almost? It is $94 million unaccounted for.
Well, that's, I mean, he did run a corporation.
As he did. The corporation needs some money.
That's right. How else are you gonna afford Sid and the likes of him and the 1-2-3 Kid and
his nonprofit?
Oh, the original punt to the head.
His nonprofit received more than $2 million in federal welfare funds since 2017, according to records obtained by the Clarion Ledger. It's Clarion down in Mississippi, not in Pennsylvania. The money began coming in shortly after DiBiase's son, Brett DiBiase, was hired as a deputy administrator at the Mississippi Department of Human Services earlier that year. Not a good look. So the organization continued receiving funds after his son left the MDHS. Oh, Brett DiBiase and the director who hired him were two of six people. See, he's one of the six people indicted. I forgot that there were people indicted in this. Brett DiBiase is one of the six people for embezzling more than $4 million in welfare funds from the state. $48,000 was spent on Brett DiBiase's stay at a luxury drug rehab facility in California. That's sad. So yeah, that's not good. That's what's happening in 2020 for DiBiase, where his son is indicted.
Not sure he would have thought that 25 years ago.
Man. Yeah, I read about that last week, I think it was. I forgot that Brett was actually indicted in this, because I knew there was six people indicted. Ted DiBiase was not one of them. Brett DiBiase was.
Right. So. Okay. That's what I thought.
That's terrible. But this match is not much better than terrible. I mean, I don't know. It's a match.
This is the main event, the very first In Your House.
It's historic.
You see Ted DiBiase in the background go, beat him up, man, beat him up.
Good advice. Hit him.
I remember watching this because I didn't watch WCW pay-per-views back then. I'm sure they had Slamboree in May, either before this or after. And I just remember feeling really weird watching a pay-per-view in May. I just wasn't used to it. Especially on Mother's Day.
I mean, look, I talked about it earlier. WWE only had 5 pay-per-views a year at this point.
Yep.
Before this night, this was the 6th. Would have been the 6th to the catalog, I guess. And yep. WCW, I'm not sure how many they had by 95, but I don't think they were doing monthly yet.
No, definitely not. I know they had Super Brawl. They did. I didn't. they didn't do Spring Stampede in 95 or 96. So Super Bowl.
Let's see.
They did Uncensored for the first time this year.
According to Wikipedia, in 95, they had Super Brawl, Uncensored, Collision in Korea, which I don't know if that's an official pay-per-view. It's on Wikipedia, though. Slamboree, Great American Bash, Bash at the Beach, Fall Brawl, Halloween Havoc. So pretty much
nine.
Yeah, pretty much like the list that we know of for like WWE, they had it in 95. So like they eventually would add like I think Great American Bash already. They eventually added like Hog Wild, which was Wild. They eventually added Spring Stampede. So that would make it 11.
Sold out.
Sold out was 97. Yeah. What else would they add? By 98, they had
three.
Yeah, World War III was 95 too.
Yeah.
So yeah. A bunch. I mean, in 99 they had Mayhem. Like, so yeah. WCW is the reason why monthly pay-per-views pretty much exist to this day. It's because they started doing it around this point in 94, 95 to keep, you know, to bring some more revenue in. They started doing them every month, and WWE, to kind of keep up, started doing In Your Houses for $14.95, you know, an offering, and then they expanded upon that by, and I guess, you know, the In Your House, I mean, it kind of faded out, I would say, even in 97, because they would replace it with, like, it wouldn't be In Your House Mind Games, it would be Degeneration X In Your House. Like, the pay-per-view name became the focal point. Even in 97, that was the case. And by 99, it was completely done. But
yeah, the first one I really remember of them focusing on the name other than In Your House was Ground Zero, the first three-hour one. I know they always had a tagline, especially after Shawn Michaels won the title, and they would have, like, good friends, better enemies, and stuff like that.
Dog.
Ground Zero was really the first one I remember that was focused on the Ground Zero.
Right, that was 98.
They brought back the red, white, and blue.
Oh.
Yeah, it was in, that was September 97. That was the,
When they had
the Friday night's main event. That
wasn't the Ground Zero before Hell in a Cell?
No, it was just before it.
That's what I'm saying. It was before, I meant before Hell in a Cell, before Bad Blood, I should say.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not, I'm thinking of, when I think of Ground Zero in 98, I'm thinking of Breakdown. That was 98.
Right, yeah. That was a great face by Sid.
So, your Ground Zero, that was right before Bad Blood.
Yeah. There's Friday night's main event, which I wish they had on the network. Because they took the place of the Monday Night Raws for 2 weeks because of that dog show or tennis or one or the other.
Dog show.
But so they brought back the red, white, and blue ring ropes for that. And then Ground Zero had the red, white, and blue ring ropes.
In Your House, like you said, had taglines. Like the second one was the Lumberjacks, apparently.
I think they added that
down
the road.
Right. It wasn't the official name of the pay-per-view, like Triple Header, Great White North, Season.
Right.
I remember hearing Seasons.
Oh, there it is. I think that's the powerbomb that Diesel hurt his elbow on.
I do remember Seasons Beatings as a, like, I do remember hearing that, which happened to GPA.
It might have been part of the logo, but I just don't remember it being like the tagline.
Right.
Hear it in your house, Seasons Beatings. It was always just hear it in your house. It wasn't.
Raising the Cage eventually became a game. Wasn't that a game or something?
Yeah, that was not part of, like, the tagline.
Right. Just Raging
or even part of the name. Yeah.
So the first one that was a part of the name, it was Good Friends, Better Enemies, 96, April 96. So In Your House 7, Good Friends, Better Enemies, and Beware of Dog, International Incident, and then Mind Games, Buried Alive, It's Time, Final Four, Revenge of the Taker. And so up until, it's all like that, up until, like you said, Ground Zero is the first one where the name of the pay-per-view was first, In Your House was second.
Okay.
And then Bad Blood, Degeneration X,
I have the freaking memory of an elephant when it comes to wrestling, man.
Apparently, man, because I would have never guessed
well,
that.
Well, WWF, let's just say.
No Way Out of Texas, then Unforgiven, pretty much up until, again, St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
That was a really bad powerbomb on Sid.
Oh.
Really? Descended into DQ? Seriously? Oh, yeah.
This is how you end the first In Your House, baby. With a whimper.
Tatanka. Really? Tatanka? Is the
one? Oh, yeah.
Where's the rest of the corporation? Tatanka just yelling at Sid, get up!
I mean, this is how, you know, like, these In Your Houses weren't meant to be, like, massive events. It's just, like, they had matches before the show, they had matches after the show, just to give the people in attendance, to like, their money's worth, because
right.
Most live events are not an hour and 40 minutes. Like, that's just not how it goes. So they gave them a little bit extra in the beginning and on the back end to kind of stretch it out to two and a half, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, here comes Bam Bam.
Bam Bam, baby. You don't mess with Bam Bam's best friend.
That's right. Boom, get out of here. Asbury Park, New Jersey's finest.
That's right. I do remember the fact that they had matches before and after. Because when they would come to Philly, like every event would be like three and a half hours at least.
Right. Like in the
shows.
You know. Vince McMahon is losing his damn mind.
Watch, I bet there was a tag team match after that went off the air. Maybe. Yeah, that's a good guess, Mark. Maybe.
Probably, I think Shawn Michaels actually wrestled on the show. Let me see.
Wait, he did?
I think so. Let me see.
They lied to me, saying that he was home watching on pay-per-view?
Let's see, hold up. But I definitely wrote it in my story. Before the show, Jean-Pierre Lafitte first beat Bob Holly. After the show, it was Undertaker, Bam Bam beat Tatanka, British Bulldog, Owen Hart.
Yeah. Sanj's revenge is diesel powered.
Hmm.
Get it?
Yeah.
Because Diesel's his best friend.
Yep.
And he's got revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And Diesel is gas.
Jean-Pierre Lafitte, of course, is PCO today.
That's right.
PCO.
Yeah, that was something.
Also, show. Hold on, let me see. Did I have that right? Oh, no, it was separate matches. No, Undertaker beat Kama Mustafa. Bam Bam beat Tatanka. British Bulldog beat Owen Hart. I don't know why I had it like all together.
Oh, yeah. British Bulldog was still a face at this point, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had yet to turn on Diesel, and I do remember that. And then he cut his hair, and I was like, yeah.
I read it all together for some reason. I don't know why, but that's not what happened. Three separate matches. Three matches after the show.
Wow.
Another like 20 minutes or no, more than like another half hour, 45 minutes of wrestling after the show. What is this right now?
What?
Are you watching it past the I'm watching like an ad for another show or something like that, I guess. I don't know.
I paused it because they just
I did not pause. I kept watching.
Copyright. The UFO thing.
That's weird.
I remember this.
I do not remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got WWF action every Saturday morning.
Okay.
Let's see what it is. Did you finish it?
No, I turned that off.
All right, well, they're... That'd be awesome if it's like a Mania promo. Saving the World WWF logo. Oh, okay. Well, I guess it wasn't. They should have definitely run an ad for Mania there. But what are you going to do?
First ever In Your House. In the books. There it
Beautiful
is.
Beautiful page. I wonder if that's the first... I don't really remember... nor have I watched like too many older pay-per-views from the 80s, but I wonder if that's the first one that ended with a DQ like that, at least in WWF's heyday.
Yeah.
I don't know if like Hogan would have headlined a pay-per-view that ended in a DQ against him or something. Like did the tag team match with at a SummerSlam? Did one of them end in a DQ, or did Hogan always win? I don't know. Good Never question. Bothered to look.
It's a very good question.
That was a great pay-per-view in your house. Great concept. I think they should have given away a house every single in your house pay-per-view, but what do I know?
I do with the next one? Oh, man.
Can you imagine that, WWE's, giving away a house every in your house?
I'm looking at WWE's like posters for like the pay-per-views recently. They're very, very like unimaginative. Not great. Like, they used to have like kind of concepts back, even like 2007, they used to have kind of like concepts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like a theme, sort of. Like the Backlash 2007 poster is great because it's like playing off of The Shining with, I think it's Edge's face in there. You know, like some concepts, you know? Just something. And now it's just like, it's just mostly people's faces and very kind of like touched up, very processed photos. And there's not much to it. It's just somebody looking at the camera, take a picture, put some stuff behind them, and that's it.
Pretty much sums up WWE's effort nowadays.
Really, it's just like not creatively. Much to it. It's just take a picture of Brock, put him on there, put some other people around him. Very much so color correct, and you know, add as much, you know, touching up to their faces as possible, and that's it. That is it. Well, that's a lot of commentary for the first ever In Your House. It was a good, it was a lot of fun, as it always is, and we will do more of these in the future, and we will have another watch party in the future when it's warranted. So we will continue to do these and have a little bit of fun on the podcast. But until then, Nick, take us out with some plugs, please, on this week's episode.
You can follow me at Nick McCone on Twitter. You can follow us at Shooters Radio on Twitter. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/Shooters Radio. New URL there. We changed it to Shooters Radio. Just so everything social media-wise is the same. Make it easier to find us. So like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Shooters Radio. Check out phillyinfluencer.com. And, you know, check out phillyvoice.com, too. I'll send this podcast to them. You know, maybe they'll get it up, maybe not. You know, it's up to them. It's not up to me. But I am continuing to, you know, give them content when they need it. So, you know, I'm not going to stop plugging them. So check out phillyvoice.com and our Patreon. You know, like we're going, man. We're going to upload some classic episodes that are not in our normal RSS feed, because I think I should have been doing that a while ago. So I've had fun this week kind of uploading older episodes that are just very entertaining. And I just uploaded one today or yesterday. It was our 26th episode where we go over Wing Bowl 24. you know, I was there and I covered it. Jim Cornette said some things about Lucha Underground that week that we talked about. And then we did a live commentary on Halftime Heat, the very first Halftime Heat with The Rock and Mankind. And that might have been our very first live commentary if it was our 1992 Royal Rumble live commentary was our 23rd episode.
Yeah.
So, and that's also on our Patreon at patreon.com/shootersradio. So we have a ton of great entertaining content. The audio of the you know, matches is included as well. So you don't have to necessarily watch on WWE Network to follow along and listen to us. We have the audio as we're live commentating it on the show. So, you know, you don't have to boot up the WWE Network just to follow along. So, you know, if that's to your liking, if you want to hear some entertaining convo, you know, we had a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun when we do these live commentaries, and it was the same way, you know, 5 years ago when we did it. So, definitely check that out at our Patreon at patreon.com/shootersradio. It's only $1.99 a month, and it's a great value.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I am at Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter. You will not find me out here in these streets because we're still under lockdown, quarantine, you know, stay at home orders. So, excuse me. Hope you and your family, as far as our listeners, hope you are all staying safe and social distancing, and hope you and your family are in good spirits and in good health during the pandemic. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. We try to, you know, provide a distraction for you for a little bit amidst all the crazy stuff going on in the world right now. So hope this was fun for you. It's fun for us. For Nick Pacone, I am Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening to episode 234 of The Straight Shooters. And we'll catch y'all again next week.
Peace.